Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Classes of Male. My name is Alan Gigax, and I am here with world-class running mate, Michael Brazemley. Hey Mike, say hello.
Hi everyone.
So we are here because just when you thought there couldn't be any more shenanigans, there are more shenanigans in our election. It's like they just keep finding new ways to fuck it up or to disenfranchise people. And we're here to talk about the latest iteration of that. So I got a call, I think it was Thursday night. So it is Sunday as we're recording this. Sunday, November 3rd, is that right? Something like, yeah. Sunday, November 3rd, 2024, as we're recording this. And I got a call, it must have been Friday night, from our branch secretary.
Thursday night.
It was Thursday night. Okay, yeah. Got a call Thursday night. That's even worse, actually. Got a call Thursday night from our branch secretary, letting me know that, hey, because of all these improprieties, because of all the ways that this got fucked up, these are not his words, this is my words, because of all the ways this got fucked up, we are going to have to cancel the election and rerun it. And so, great, you know, of course the election is going to have to be rerun because of all the things that we've already talked about on this podcast. But the latest one that put it over the edge was that it turns out that a lot of people who had apartment numbers on their address didn't get ballots, that their ballots were sent out insufficient address. And so the union got back, according to the secretary, at least 70 ballots that were undeliverable, and those are the ones that went out first class. As you already know, a big chunk of our ballots went out standard class, and those would have just gone into the UBM as undeliverable. So that's why the election is being postponed. But Michael, do you think there might be another reason that made it a little bit more real for them?
Yeah. So the if I remember correctly, in the bylaws of our constitution and the rules of the how to run the election, that's on our NALC site, says basically that the national officer is the one who makes that decision. So we, you know, because and me and Alan and Jonathan, we talked about it, saying that that seems weird. How can Jerry, who's actually running on Paul's ticket,
this is our branch secretary. Let's just call him the secretary.
Yeah, yeah. Jerry, our secretary. He says that we are delaying the election till February. Okay.
Yeah.
And we're like, wait a second. Okay, that's
let's hold off till we get to that because. Okay. You know, I think another reason that they decided, like, oh, these are real problems, is that Michael, officially, a bunch of people got together to file charges against our election committee chair. And we're going to talk about those in a little bit. In our bylaws, the charges had to be brought by one person, so Michael stepped up, his name is on the charges, but I think we're up to like 75 signatures of other people signing off on these charges against the election chair, where we list all the things that have gone wrong in this election and all the improprieties. And I think maybe seeing that list made them realize, like, oh, dude, there's no way this election is going to stand. Because what the secretary said to me was that they called headquarters in D.C. and were told to stay the course. But the branch here realized, like, dude, there were too many mistakes, too many people got disenfranchised, it's for sure going to be challenged, and so let's just call the election and we'll try again. So that's what I was told Thursday. And then, of course, I called Michael and told him. So that's where it stood Thursday night. If only that were the end of the story. Oh, and also, the chair of the election board resigned. That's also what I was told Thursday night. And so now the co-chair...
Because of his health.
Yeah, because for health reasons, right. Yeah, I hadn't heard that at the time. I just thought it was because he had fucked it up so bad. Mm-hmm. But allegedly he resigned because of his health. But you know how that goes.
Yeah, but here's a funny thing. If he's resigning because of his health, but then why does he want to stay on and be a treasurer for our branch?
Yeah, maybe he won't. Who knows? We haven't heard that part. But we were just talking to the new chair of the election committee, and apparently the former chair of the election committee hasn't fully stepped down. He's just not the chair anymore, but apparently still wants to be involved in the election committee. And it was brought to my attention, I was talking to the host of Delivering Solidarity, Fred Woodley. He also had a contested election like this at his branch and got intimately familiar with all these rules. And he said, isn't that guy's wife running for trustee? Yeah, she is. And so isn't that a conflict of interest? And I'm like, oh, yeah, now that you mention it, I think it is. And so so we've got that to deal with, to add that to this ever-growing list. So the election chair resigned. Now the co-chair has stepped up and is now in charge. And he seems like an ethical dude. I don't know a lot about him, but I just had a conversation with him, with Michael, and he seems ethical. Would you agree with that assessment?
I've known George for a few years now.
Yeah. All right. So he seems like an okay guy. But still, the election board that's supposed to be running all this stuff still has not been convened. And, like, I'm talking to a guy who's on the election committee or election board. In our bylaws, it's called the election board. In the rules, it's called the election committee. It doesn't matter. It's the same thing. And he's still, you know, there. It looks like the only thing they're going to be asked to do is count votes. And they're not going to advise or consent to anything. So it leaves us with a question. Who actually made the decision to rerun this election? And Michael, you just talked to the new co-chair or the new chair of the election committee. Do you know who actually made the decision?
I have no idea.
Yeah, me neither. Okay.
So, well, George said that when Ken
the
resigned.
New co-chair. Let's try not to use people's names if we can avoid it.
Well,
because they don't know these people anyway.
Okay. So
the new chair,
the election chair, the old election chair, mm-hmm. when he resigned, then so from what the new co-chair says, our branch president told him, hey, can you run as the new chair?
Right. He got appointed essentially by the branch president,
That he has the right to do
because
it says
in
the bylaw.
It does. Yeah. Yep. That is appropriate. Yeah.
And so now he is running it, and he supposedly talked to Paul Berner at our national. Mm-hmm. And said that the Paul Barner basically said that, hey, you know, it'll be, he said, well, I don't know the exact word he said, but he said to continue on with the election.
Right. And just see if anybody challenges
and
it.
So,
and if a challenge comes, then you'll have to redo it. Yeah.
Right. Which I thought that's basically what we were doing with the charges that we were doing.
Well, we can't challenge the results until after the election. We can't officially challenge it. And so that's, we get now into this interesting part where we were told on Thursday night, hey, this election's canceled. And so Friday and Saturday, Friday morning, I did a stand-up at my station and said, hey, everybody, election got canceled. You can take those ballots you have and throw them away because now we're not doing the election. It's going to get postponed until mm-hmm. February. Voting will be in January. And Friday and Saturday, a couple people came up to me. They're like, hey, I still need to vote. Do you have any stamps? Because they didn't put stamps on fucking election committee didn't put stamps on the ballots. And do you have stamps? And I'm like,
no,
don't worry about it.
Former.
Oh, yeah, the former
chair.
Election
chair. There was
chair.
No committee.
Yeah, yeah, right.
We did it without the committee.
That's true. Can't blame the committee when the mm-hmm. committee was never consulted.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The former election chair didn't put stamps on the ballots. And so, anyway, and I'm like, no, dude, don't even worry about it. You can just throw your ballot away because now the election's been canceled. Then we hear today.
Let me explain that.
Yeah.
Then we're here today. I have a source that calls me and tells me that, hey, by the way, what the secretary was telling you, who's on this ticket, who's running for the election, and telling you guys that it's a castle, he lied so that you can tell the people so that they don't vote anymore. That's what I was told by a reliable source. Okay.
That is just conspiracy.
But
theory.
It is still
that's
conspiracy.
Conjecture. Yeah, that's conjecture.
Because there is no proof on this. But that I was told by another person that this is what he was doing. And so, because, you know, from what I gather, it's only been told to only very few people and not the whole. That's where I was kind of wondering with Alan.
Yeah.
Well, how come they didn't post this? How come they didn't email
this? That's part of the problem.
Yeah. They didn't do any of that stuff.
Yeah. Right. And there are official channels in theory that they could go through to announce that, hey, the election's been canceled. There are also official channels they could go through, like at least the branch email list, as best we have it, to say, hey, the election is back on. And none of that has been done. It's all been hearsay. Like, I did hear officially from the branch secretary, but now it turns out that's not true. And so how many more people have been disenfranchised by being told from the hall that this election has been canceled? Dude, it's horseshit.
Yeah.
All right. So we don't even know who made the decision to that we're going to rerun the election, but it doesn't matter because they're not authorized to make that decision anyway. So we have brought charges, and we did this prior to the election being canceled. We did this on what, Tuesday? Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I can bring up the story why we did this. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the ballots that was sent out, it was sent out with our ballots, and we received a Team Peterson flyer at the same time with the ballot. Okay. In exactly same kind of envelope, same permit number. It just looks kind of suspicious. Okay. And so we're like, you know what? You know, we want to just make sure that nothing is being done wrong. So we wanted to get a copy and have the branch show us a transparency so that we can get a copy of the order for the ballots, copy of the invoice, and or receipts of what was ordered so that they can tell us that, hey, nothing did go wrong. Okay.
Right. And we also want to know, how did this get fucked up in the first place? Mm-hmm. Like, what did our branch actually order from the printer? Did they order it with stamps and somehow the printer just sent it without stamps? The printing company.
Printer, yeah. Don't make mistakes.
Yeah, right. The printing company. Did we order it all to be first class? And, you know, so where does the impropriety lay? Did the printer fuck it up? Mm-hmm. Or did our election chair fuck it up? Or did the election chair even order it? Go ahead.
So me called our treasurer just to make sure that, hey, can I get a copies of the receipt, invoice, and
order? Right, because all this stuff would have to be submitted for approval.
Right. And she said that she has gotten absolutely nothing. Nothing. And she said she's been looking for it, she's been requesting it, and then she has not seen anything. So she said she's been doing her job to find out what's been going on, she's not being told either.
We're all being stolen.
Okay. And so now here's the only thing that comes to mind now, okay? The only ones that can approval for money to be spent from our branch is our treasurer and our president. Our election chair, our former election chair, some is stoneballing us of not telling us who or what was ordered and so forth, keeping it hidden. And we sent an email out saying, hey, can we get these? And the reply we got back is, don't harass me.
Yeah. Yeah, he says, I don't pay the bills for the branch, mm-hmm. and so I don't have this invoice. Well, dude, we went to the person who does pay the bills for the branch, mm-hmm. and she's been completely out of the loop, mm-hmm. so that only leaves the president to have approved this stuff. The president who, of course, Michael is running against, mm-hmm. and all of this stuff would be cleared up if we could just see what was actually ordered, mm-hmm. so that we know there's this separation, that it was just the print company that messed everything up. And they're not giving it to us. We have asked, and they ain't giving it. So here's the charges. I'm going to go through these charges. I'm going to redact all the names. And Michael, feel free to chime in whenever you see fit. All right, charges against blank, chair of the election board. Or I'm going to call him redacted. Under the provisions of Article 10 of the NALC regulations governing federal and subordinate branches, hereafter referred to as Constitution, we, the undersigned, bring the following charges against redacted chair of the election board. 1. As of October 26th, 2024, the election board has not been convened. I'll step out here to say that, as far as we know, it still hasn't been convened, and now we're more than a week later. NALC Branch 2502 bylaws, hereafter referred to as bylaws, Article 5, Section 4, require the election board, quote, to conduct and supervise all aspects of the election, end quote. This is not to be done by a single individual, but by the board as a whole. Further, the NALC regulations governing branch election procedures, hereafter referred to as election rules, section 7.1 instructs, quote, at least 21 days before the election, the president or other body as authorized by branch bylaws should appoint a committee to conduct and supervise all aspects of the election, end quote. Thus far, the election board has not been consulted on any decisions or matters relating to the branch elections. This unilateral action runs in contravention to the rules set forth and agreed to in the election rules and the bylaws. That is charge number one. Number two, so charge number one is essentially going it alone and not using the committee which is why the committee exists. And again, the bylaws say it's all supposed to be done by the committee. Two, the decision to use, I'll go ahead and redact the printing company's name too, because maybe they did everything right and it was us. So the decision to use printing company was made without the advice or consent of the election board and without the advice or consent of the branch. Redacted does not have the authority to act unilaterally in this matter. So again, we talk to people who are on the executive board and they're like, dude, nobody asked us if it was all right to use this company and that's how we were going to do it. He just did it. Yeah.
If I remember correctly, didn't you read on bylaws saying that anything over $500, they would have to get approval?
We're going to get to that. Don't skip to charge six already.
Sorry.
That's all right.
It's coming.
All right. Number three, redacted did not receive, right here. Don't skip to charge three already. Mm-hmm. Redacted did not receive advance authorization for the expenditure of branch funds as required in the Constitution, Article 12, Section 3, and Article 9, Section 2. He has been asked to show evidence of his authorization, but has been unable or unwilling to do so. We are left with no conclusion but that the expenditures are unauthorized and therefore in violation of our Constitution.
Okay. There's another thing is that I believe, I think even in our, JCAM talks about this saying, well, we've always done this.
Oh, well, past practice.
In past practice, whatever it is. It says that. But then here's the thing is our election rules are our election rules.
Yeah. Okay?
There's no such thing as this is a past practice that, we've been breaking the rules so that we can always win.
Yeah, past practice only applies if there's not a rule that covers it.
Right, but there is a rule, okay?
There is definitely a rule.
And so, there is no past practice on this.
And the whole idea of this is the way we've always done it, that's the fucking problem.
Mm-hmm.
Is before I started doing this podcast, before Michael came along, nobody was checking. Nobody was making sure that they didn't break the rules. And now, all of a sudden, we're looking at these rules, we're looking at the bylaws, and we're just finding impropriety after impropriety after impropriety, and that's why we're running. And that's why this election is important, because fuck that. That has gone on long enough.
For about almost 30 years.
Dude, I've only been looking for the last year, and I've been finding stuff consistently that they're just ignoring their own rules. All right, number four. The ballots were sent out by printing company. The ballots that were sent out by printing company were sent, at least in part, with pre-sorted standard postage. This is in direct violation of the election rules, section 14.2, which requires, quote, the election committee must mail first class to all eligible members, end quote. Further, this was done without the consent or oversight of the election board. So, once again, just going it alone and doing it wrong. And maybe it wasn't his mistake. Maybe it was the printer's mistake. But we don't know, the printing company, we don't know because we can't see what was ordered because he won't show it to us. And so what are we supposed to do? You know, and dude, again, talking to the Delivering Solidarity host, Fred Woodley, he's like, man, if they won't give you this information, they're going to wind up giving it to the Department of Labor when labor charges get filed. And we don't want that for our branch. Just clear your name. Give us the information. But of course, if the information won't clear your name, makes you a lot less likely to want to hand it over. But dude, just as members of the branch, not even as candidates, just as members of the branch, we have a right to see how our branch's money is being spent. And they're not doing it. They're hiding it. All right. Number five, the ballots that were sent out by printing company included an envelope for the return of the completed ballots. The election rules, section 14.2.D, require this return envelope to include postage. The return envelope that the branch members received included no postage. When Redacted was made aware of this violation, he indicated that the branch would offer reimbursement for postage to anyone who requested it. While this solution is plainly unsatisfactory and does not bring the branch in compliance with election rules, Redacted compounded the problem by not informing branch members at large of this opportunity for reimbursement. Further, these decisions were made without the consent or oversight of the election board. So this, again, speaks to this problem of, dude, if you make a mistake and it's brought to your attention, you fucking fix it. And he had no interest in fixing this problem, in saying, like, dude, I've talked to plenty of other people about this issue with the postage, and to a person, the answer is obvious. What is the obvious solution to fix this postage problem, Michael?
Resend it.
That's it. Just resend out corrected ballots with corrected postage on it, and you delay the election by about 2 weeks, and everybody gets their ballots, and everything's fine.
You can't delay the election without permission from the national.
Okay, well, there you go. So you do that, you figure out, hey, this is our problem, how do we fix it?
You send it first class, most people should get it within a few days.
Yeah, dude, you'd think, but it wasn't even on the table for redacted. Mm-hmm. All right, and finally, you got more on this, or are we good?
Well, so the biggest issue that came up was when one of my CCAs, who is probably like 22 years old, and came up to me and said, hey, man, I want to vote for you, and I want to send this ballot, but how do I do that? Like, well, you just put a postage on there and then send it out. Well, I don't know how to do that. So that's the problem is that these new generation of kids that's working the post office has never mailed anything ever in their life.
Yeah, they don't even have stamps.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I had to make an announcement in my stand-up. They're like, hey, this fuck-up happened, and if you need a stamp, I'll give you a stamp. And dude, a surprising number of people came up to me to get stamps.
I bought $40 worth of stamps, and they were all gone.
Dude, yeah, it's ridiculous. And so that's the people who came up to us who wouldn't have voted at all if not for that. Or, you know, it puts this barrier. And that's why these rules are in place. Because we don't want to put barriers to people exercising their democratic rights. It amounts to a poll tax where you have to pay to vote, and that is not okay. So people are being disenfranchised.
Now, when I said that I paid $40 worth of stamps, I did not coerce anybody. I just said, do you want a stamp for the ballot? That's all I said.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I said that too at my stand-up. Like, I don't care who you vote for. I'll still give you a stamp. Mm-hmm. And then I made the funny, like, well, I care who you vote for, but regardless of who you vote for, I'll still give you the stamp.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Absolutely. And then how many people not at our stations didn't get that offer? Just saw the ballot, didn't know how to send it in, or at least one person at your station sent it in without postage.
Oh, yes, that's another one.
Yeah.
I asked him, hey, do you want a stamp for the ballot? And he goes, I already sent that in. Did you put a stamp on it? And he goes, no. I'm like, okay, well, here's a stamp. If you get to return, put a stamp on it and resend it, okay?
Yeah, and that's the problem, right? People are being disenfranchised, and I know we've made this point before, but these errors favor the incumbents. Because retirees tend to vote incumbent, and retirees have stamps, and they have the time to go get them and all that stuff. And, you know, these errors just keep favoring the incumbents. All right, and then number six, the final charge. Multiple members of good standing of Branch 2502, including candidates running in the election and members of the election board, have reached out to Redacted in an attempt to understand how these errors occurred. They have asked for documentation pertaining to what exactly was purchased from printing company with branch funds. For example, did our order include the purchase of postage for all return envelopes? Redacted has not acted in good faith in answering these questions, nor in providing the requested documents. Our election board chair should act in an open and above board manner. Redacted's unilateral and behind-closed-doors decisions have violated the trust of Branch 2502 and have had a tangible effect on the outcome of our election. That is the final charge. And that's it, right? And it's a foregone conclusion that this election is going to be challenged and it's going to have to be rerun, no matter what. That is absolutely going to happen because they fucked it up so bad. All right, conclusion. It is undeniable that carriers were disenfranchised in this election. That disenfranchisement falls squarely on the shoulders of Redacted because of his unilateral actions as chair of the election board. We, the undersigned, asked Branch 2502 for a full investigation of this alleged wrongdoing with the results of said investigation to be shared at the next regular branch meeting. Sincerely, Michael Brazenly. So those are the charges.
Dude. And for more information is that I also sent a certified mail to Brian Renfro and Paul Barnard, what's going on here in our Branch 2502. And I've got no letters or any type of response from our national officers. It's funny how we're talking about how national officers seems like they don't ever do anything. Well, it seems like they're doing still not doing anything either, even in our city. So they're not helping us either. And then the only thing I can see here is other people call, and then we get a word saying, oh, continue on going on with the election. But they won't call the people that's complaining.
Well, and again, and we don't know, all of this is hearsay. And that's another part of this problem, is that they're not being upfront about what's going on, who's making these decisions, you know, where is all this coming from? And every step of the way, more people are being disenfranchised. And that's bullshit. Now, with all that said, when we get to Wednesday, and if ballots are tallied and I win, I'll be like, all right, it's cool. Don't worry about it. Everything's fine. We can keep all this. Everything's cool. No, but seriously, no matter what happens, people have been disenfranchised, and it's not right, and the election's going to have to be redone. So in talking to, and then the charges that we brought, right now have like 75 signatures so far and counting. And dude, anybody who sees that knows, yeah, this is all fucked up. And there's one person to blame, because that person went rogue and just tried to do everything themselves.
But again, I just want to remind, the two people that's in control of the fund is the treasurer and the president. And somehow the treasurer says, I don't have any information on how this was paid or anything.
Yeah. And okay? Dude, not only that, but those two would be in charge if it was an expenditure under $500. If it's an expenditure over $500, who has to approve that, Michael?
General membership.
That's right. The branch has to approve it. And I don't remember seeing at any meeting where we were asked, like, hey, we want to, you know, budget $3,000 for the election. Can we get a vote?
And I go to every meeting.
Yeah, I do too. And that never happened. And if it did happen, the treasurer would be able to say, like, well, we've already got this budget in place. And she knows of no such budget. Mm-hmm. So add it to the list of improprieties. And I asked when I wrote in my email looking for information, by the way, how did this get approved? No answer. You know, there was like one question in this list of questions that actually got answered by redacted. And it was about the permit number on the ballots that got sent out. And so we know he read it and we know he's able to answer questions, but somehow dodged every other question. Dude. So go ahead.
Yeah, there's one more thing I want to add, is that the reason that the envelopes look weird because the permit number matched the ballot and the one from the flyer that was sent by our incumbent president. And it uses the same permit number, 3101. Okay. The problem is that when you fill out an application for this permit on PS Form 3615, I believe, actually says owner of the mail has to be sent out with that. And so if the owner, I'd like to know who the owner of that.
Dude, I really permit think it's two. The permit printing company. And I think they can use that. But yeah, seeing the invoice or the order would answer all these questions. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Conspiracy theories thrive on opacity. And when you can't see what's going on, you're left to draw your own conclusions. Even more so when that information is simply being withheld. All right. So in talking to, so we get back to this phone call that I had with the branch secretary. And this was Thursday night. And he says, we're going to obey the rules this time. Great. I hope you do. And already not obeying it because they inappropriately made the decision to cancel the election. But one of those things is like that we're going to have 45 days notice, that we're going to redo the announcement, that we're going to, you know, do all these things, that the election committee is actually going to be consulted. Although, again, apparently they weren't consulted on this decision. So they're already, they can't get out of their own way. They keep stepping on their own dicks. So I wonder if this time, will they actually get budget approval? At this upcoming meeting, will they have us vote for the budget for this election? I don't know. I wouldn't put it past him not to do it. Just be like, oh, it's fine. Speaking of budget, what else hasn't been approved in our budget, Michael?
Our Christmas party.
Yeah, it is now November, and we still have not heard about our annual Christmas party that we've had every year for the last 172 years. I don't know how long. Go ahead.
I've only heard rumors that our Christmas party is canceled saying that we don't have enough funds to have this Christmas party, and saying that all the Christmas party where it's union approved places are all booked out, and the only ones that's available is so expensive that we cannot afford to use them. Does that mean that they forgot to do that? That's why there's no place available?
Yeah, that's a good question. Because we see in the budget that there's still like 20 grand left or something
almost
like that.
Almost 30 grand.
Yeah, almost 30 grand left in our Christmas fund. So what's going to happen to that money? And in our bylaws, that's only supposed to cover at least 50% of the cost of the party. So you're going to tell me for $50,000, you can't put on a Christmas party?
Almost $60,000.
Yeah, dude. Give me a break. Come on. It's not that expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, for that kind of money, yeah. And somehow it can't get done.
Oh, but you know, APWU is having a Christmas party at Palms.
At the Palms. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that used to be a fancy place. It used to be fancy. I don't know if it is anymore. Okay.
So, it's actually nicer than what it was.
Yeah. Yeah. I that's probably true.
Yeah.
All right. So what does all this mean? Well, it means that the incumbents, who benefit from all of this anyway, benefit even further because they get to stay in their seats for another few months. Lucky them. Isn't that something? That because of their mistakes, they get to stay and Michael and I or whoever get shut out for another few months.
No. It's not being delayed anymore.
Because, oh, yeah, that's true.
Because we talked to the new chair.
Yeah.
And he said that he's not going to delay it anything. He said they've received approximately over 500 ballots already.
Yep.
And so they want to count that and do the election on Wednesday. So it's not being delayed.
And dude, to his credit,
we were given misinformation by our secretary.
Yeah. And to his credit, he said it's not being delayed because he doesn't have the authority to delay it. And he's right about that.
Yeah.
And so, dude, credit to the new guy. The new guy is an improvement already. Yeah. So we will see how we stood and, you know, how close it was and how things are going. And because I guess the ballots are going to be counted despite all the disenfranchisement, but it is guaranteed that it's going to be challenged and it's going to have to be rerun. So here we are with this opportunity to put an end to all of this and to right the ship and to fix what's going on in the branch. And if you're a member of Branch 2502 listening to this podcast, you know what has to happen. Vote them out. Vote out those motherfucking incumbents who are sinking this ship of our branch. That is our opportunity. You know, I am curious to see how the ballots that came in, how they shake out. And we're just going to have to do it again. And we got another 3 months of campaigning ahead of us, Michael. Dude.
Well, that's if we win the charges.
Well, yeah, who knows? Who knows how this is going to go? Right. Well, because the appeal is also this long, convoluted process.
Mm-hmm.
But the very first step of the appeal is that it goes to our own election board. Mm-hmm. And I bet the election board's going to be on board with overturning the results of the election.
We'll see.
Yeah, I guess we will see. Well, if it's not done by the election board, then we can appeal to the next step. And the next step is our executive board of our branch, and no, they're the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so after that, it goes to national, and yeah, who knows how long this process will take.
We've already sent letters to national, and we got no response yet.
Yeah,
so
they got a heads up on what's going on.
I mean, it's the same BS that we've been hearing nationwide.
Right.
They can't do their job.
Yeah,
well,
to the bottom.
Here we are from rank and file sending him saying, hey, we need your help. And it looks like it's going wrong. No answer.
No. The only thing that we've heard, and it was secondhand, was from the new chair of the committee who was told to stay the course and wait for challenges.
Yeah.
For somebody to challenge the outcome. So we got 3 more months ahead of campaigning ahead of us. Maybe more. Who knows? By the time it all shakes out. We've obviously lost our head start. Michael and I had about a month head start.
Oh, no. I was planning since...
Well,
early
that's true. Yeah, so we've lost our head start. But even without that, as far as I can tell, we're still the only ticket that has a platform, that actually has ideas for what we want to do with the branch. So we'll at least on Wednesday get a sense of how that's resonating with people. And dude, I feel bad for the other challenger ticket because, so we got two challengers and then the incumbent. The other challenger sent out a mailer and they sent it out first class with their own stamps, they must have spent close to $2,000 sending out that mailer.
More.
Or maybe more because of the printing and everything.
They got banners up. Yeah. They have everything.
And now that came out 3 months too early. And they can't get that money back. No. The branch just fucked them out of that money. And
that's if it gets delayed.
Yeah, they're right. If the election gets rerun. Yeah, what are the chances of that? So that's it. And then, of course, the branch itself. People wasted their money and their time and their own postage, our branch members, trying to send their ballots back in. And all of that is just gone because people can't follow the same book that I keep shaking that was given to me by Charlie Miller. Thank you, Charlie. It wound up coming in really handy. So that's that. Yep.
Well, I do have one more thing. So from what I'm told, that what Paul Barner said is that if it gets delayed, the people that has acclimation already will get to move into that position no matter what. So because like my station, I got three carriers to go jump up as a steward. And so if this gets delayed till February, March, April, whenever it gets delayed to, I won't be a steward either.
Yeah, that's interesting.
While the acclimated people are already in. It's right. Crazy.
Yeah, who are the stewards? Because you're also not supposed to hold more than one position. So what if somebody who got their position by acclimation is also has an old position? Like, what happens there? It's all just a mess.
Yep.
It is an absolute mess. All right, so if you're not already listening to it, I recommend the Delivering Solidarity podcast. Fred Woodley, again, gave me some really good advice and was great talking to him. So that's a good one. And also, of course, listen to or vote for Michael and me again, I guess. So after our meeting on Wednesday, we'll get together, do another podcast, and let you guys know how it all shook out. It's been a hell of a ride. Got anything else, Mike?
No, that's it. Little disappointed. Trust in our officers has gone very bad.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, everybody. Thank you for listening, and we will catch you next time.